The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
Well, welcome, my friend. Welcome to Truth Infusion. What we're going to do today is go into the second of a series of teachings on the sin nature. Now, really, I began this 2 weeks ago as I opened up the show to begin teaching on justification. Out of my mouth came something completely different, a completely different direction that God took me in at on the spur of the moment. I wasn't even ready for this. My heart began to go out to the vast number, the vast majority of Christians out there that love the Lord and desire to live a victorious Christian life as the Bible says they are. However, they struggle with the fact that they know their life isn't that. They see what the Bible says about them on the other hand, they know they're living a defeated life, and that is the most of us. So don't think that if you think, well, that may be me, I'm the weird one. No, you're not. You're in the majority, friend. You are sitting right where I was not too very long ago. But something changed my direction, a gift from God, through the administration of the Holy Spirit. God opened up an understanding about a topic that is little taught in churches today. That is the understanding of the sin nature. And the greatest body of teaching in the Bible on the sin nature comes from the sixth chapter of Romans. It is the sin nature chapter, okay? And so last week, I spent time introducing this. I didn't know where I was really going 2 weeks ago, but my heart was just going out to Christians that were struggling, and I realized you'll never know why you're struggling if we don't identify the problem. So last week we discussed a couple of illustrations. Number one, that in order to identify, to find a remedy for a disease, science has to first identify and isolate the germ. So we've got to identify and isolate the germ, the disease of the sin nature. You've got to understand what it is inside you. The second thing we talked about was the Emancipation Proclamation and how when that was signed into effect by Lincoln, it freed every slave. Every slave was by law free. But many, many, many of them never got the word, were never told. They were free, but they remained in slavery because they were ignorant of the truth that they had been released. Christ on the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. On the cross, he signed with his own blood your Emancipation Proclamation. And my brother, my sister, you've been living a slave to your sin nature because you didn't know what he wrote down on your life, what he wrote down in his word. You can be free, but you've got to know what this is all about. So, with that as the backdrop, we're going to go into a teaching today on the sin nature. And before we can get to Romans chapter 6, which is the guts of the teaching, I mean, it is one of the most powerful chapters in the entirety of God's holy word. And few people understand it. And those that think they understand it, a lot of times understand it wrongly. We're going to get into it. But I've got to teach you, where did the sin nature come from? What is it? When I say that, what does that mean? And once we kind of have put a face on what is the sin nature, then we can get into the sin nature chapter and start understanding the mechanics of how this thing works. Because once you identify the enemy, you can find out how we defeat it or how it's been defeated at Calvary. So let's talk about origins. What is the sin nature? To really understand this, we got to get all the way back to the Garden of Eden. That's where it started. So let's start from the beginning. and identify what this is. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." Very familiar verse. The phrase, "formed man of the dust of the ground," this is speaking of man's physical body. Okay, when I look at you and you look at me, God formed Adam's body from the elements of the ground that he gathered together. And I almost picture him being on the beach. He wasn't on the beach, but you know how we get on the beach and we take the sand and we form castles and we form creations out of the sand. God formed the body of Adam, the human physique. Man is physical. Man has a human body. Man has natural inclinations that come from being a human. We are human and we act like humans. We have what I want to call a human nature. Now, this human nature, it helps us to just be human. We have a sex drive. It's not bad. We turn it into bad, but it's a natural human characteristic. We desire to be in the company of people. That's a human thing. We don't like to be alone. We desire to be successful, to be profitable, to succeed. There's nothing wrong with that. We have that because we're humans. We hunger, we thirst because we have a body. Okay, Jesus had a human nature. He was the God-man, the man-God. He was human. So don't let the fact that we have a human nature throw you off. Adam was created with one. But he was also created with another nature. Genesis 2:7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." Here's the second part. "Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Man came alive when he received the breath of life. That breath of life is the word pneuma, wind, spirit. What did Jesus, the Creator, what did God breathe into Adam that made that form of a human come alive? He breathed into Adam the Holy Spirit. Okay? He breathed into Adam the Holy Spirit, and thus Adam received within his human framework, his human nature, he received a divine or a spiritual nature. We're going to call it the divine nature for this study. But it's really the Holy Spirit, the breath of life. The divine nature is the uninhibited control of the Holy Spirit as the dominating factor in an individual's life. The human nature, by definition, if you're wanting to write this down, is the psychological and social qualities that characterize humankind. Okay? Especially in contrast with other living things. It sets us apart. So the human nature is a thing that makes us human. The divine nature is that Holy Spirit inside us that controls our life. See, here's a point that I want to make. This is important when we get to the sin nature part. Your spiritual nature is the master of your human body, your human framework, your human nature. The spiritual nature is the overriding, dominating force that controls us. Okay? Adam was created with a divine nature. Therefore, that Holy Spirit, that divine nature, was the controlling, dominating factor in his life when he was created. And it did so many things. It allowed him perfect communication with God. It allowed him understanding of God the Father. It gave him the right standing with God. So his relationship was true and right. It allowed him perfect and right relationship with his wife, Eve, once she was there. It allowed him perfect and right relationship with the created world around him that he was given dominion over, because the Holy Spirit was leading, guiding, directing, overwhelming his human being. Okay? So you got that. Created with two natures. Human nature, which just means made us human, the characteristics of mankind, and a divine nature, which was the driving force that guided his life. And ultimately, it is the Holy Spirit. So then something happens a little later on in the Eden, in the garden there. In Genesis 2:17, it says, God's telling them, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it." Now you know this. You've heard this before. "For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Remember that? In the day that you eat of it, God said, you shall surely die. Now, did they eat of it? Yes. Did they take a bite and swallow and drop dead? No. So obviously, if the Bible, if God says you shall surely die, then yes, it happened. But it must not have meant that they physically were going to drop dead on the spot, because that didn't happen. What is God talking about here? He's talking about spiritual death, not physical death. And when we see spiritual death in the life of a Christian, because we see it here in the garden, we see it in the life of Adam and Eve, we see it in Paul's life. You go read Romans 7:9. I'm not going to go into that, but go read and see what it says. Just a little homework for you. When we talk about physical death in the life of a Christian, a better way for us to understand what it's talking about is when we talk about spiritual death in the life of a Christian, because that's what God's talking about with Adam. You shall surely die. They didn't drop dead. It's not physical. It's spiritual. What happened? Spiritual death took place because the most awful, amazingly transformational, powerful moment, in one of the most powerful moments in mankind's history, took place at that moment when Adam experienced spiritual death. Because at the moment that he chose to disobey, the Holy Spirit, that divine nature, separated from Adam, and Adam experienced spiritual death. Okay? The Holy Spirit, in the presence of that willing, knowing rebellion, left Adam. And at the moment the Holy Spirit left, in the place of the departing of his spiritual nature, as the divine nature left, a new spiritual nature arose inside of Adam. All right? What was the new nature? It was the sin nature. And now, in the place of the divine nature, which was the overwhelming, overriding, controlling factor in Adam and Eve's life, in the place of that spiritual guide, that spiritual master, a new spiritual master took its place, and it was that of sin. The sin nature came alive in Adam's life. So at this point, Adam is human nature, because he's still human, but now his human nature is led, guided by sin, the sin nature. And because sin nature took over his life, spiritual separation took place between Adam and God, and Adam was immediately spiritually separated from God. So what happened to Adam? What happened to him? In that instance, the divine nature died. The spiritual nature sprang to life. What is the spiritual nature? Let me give you a definition as we close out this segment. Spirit, the sin nature, is the self-seeking, self-serving, self-empowered, self-control of the individual. It is the source of a steady state of rebellion against God and God's will for our lives. The sin nature is the source of a steady rebellion against God and His will for our lives, and thus we are separated from Him just like Adam was. So we're going to come back. We're going to continue this on the other side of the break. Truth Infusion Ministries is excited to introduce you to J&K Custom Cutting. This Christian-based operation is a father and son team that is ready to take care of your lumber needs. The great thing is they are portable, so you can bring the logs to them or they can come to you. They also build logging mats and they sell lumber of all types with a specialty in cedar. So call Johnny and Kevin at 903-824-8477. That's 903-824-8477. They are waiting to hear from you. Hey, Truth Seekers, this is David Markham, and I want to ask you to go to truthinfusion.com and check out our blog site. I'm using it like a Bible study. We're talking about justification, sanctification, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want you to go get your Bible, check what I'm saying, make sure I'm telling you the truth. But I think you'll find some things there that challenge you to see things differently, maybe a little more clearly. So truthinfusion.com, check me out on the blog site, and you keep seeking the truth.
If you're in the market for concrete work, Truth Infusion Ministries highly recommends Self Concrete for your project needs. With 25 years of experience, Kenneth Self is an honest Christian craftsman ready to bid commercial as well as residential jobs. They can do design and build projects as well as decorative stamped work. For more information, call Self Concrete at 903-748-9967. That's 903-748-9967. Kenneth is waiting to hear from you.
So Adam willingly, knowingly, bit from the tree, the fruit from the tree. At that moment, a cataclysmic catastrophe took place. His divine nature, the Holy Spirit, departed from him. That part of him that allowed perfect communion and understanding with the Lord, with his Creator, with creation, with his wife, with the community around him, departed. And the Holy Spirit, as the leader and the guide and the overwhelming, overriding factor in his life, left. And immediately in his place, the sin nature sprang up. And it, as the new spiritual nature, became the overriding, overwhelming factor in Adam's life that began to be the master and the controller of his human nature. Okay? Before the fall, let me put it this way. Before the fall, Adam had complete God consciousness. And these aren't my words, but it really outlines this very well. Adam had complete God consciousness before he took of the apple. After the fall, Adam gained complete self-consciousness. Okay? So now you get a general explanation of where it came from. And very generally what it is. It's that spiritual nature that is the controlling factor over our physical body, over our human nature. We know what it is, basically now. Decent definition of what the sin nature is. Okay, here's the next question that many people have asked. How did the sin nature get from Adam and his decision in the garden to 2012, you know, some 6,000 years later, to me and you? So Adam's the one that ate from the fruit. How did I get stuck with this? It's a great question. And I know some way or another, you've bound to have asked this in your past, maybe in your present. How does the sin nature get from Adam to us? Why do we get stuck with Adam's problem? Why are we considered sinners at birth? Because you are. You read Psalms 51. David says, I was in sin from the beginning. I was in iniquity from the beginning. When my mother conceived me, I was in sin. So he recognizes that he was empowered with the sin nature from the get-go? How does it get to us? How does that happen? Well, there's a principle that I want to call the image of the Father principle. Okay? Now, in order to understand this, we've got to look up Genesis chapter 5. I want to read verses 1 through 3. Okay, now let me read this to you. It says, verse 1, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them, male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind. In that day, they were created. All right. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, and he formed and fashioned them in his image. They were in his image because he blew into them himself, the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit. And so they took on the image or the likeness, the spiritual likeness of God. The image of the Father principle says this, the paternal meaning the father, the paternal or the father side of the union between the man and the woman, the paternal side of the union passes the spiritual nature to the offspring. In a creative sense, who was Adam's father? Well, God created Adam. He came from the creative hands and words of God the Father. So God blew into Adam the breath of life, and as God being the paternal side or the father side of the union, he passed his nature to Adam, the divine nature, okay, the Holy Spirit. And that's what Genesis 1 and 2 kind of lay out, that God created Adam in his likeness. Now, let's read verse 3. Adam lived 130 years. He begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Okay? Image of the Father principle. God created Adam. Adam had the spiritual nature of God, the Holy Spirit, the divine nature. Adam fell. Sin nature revived in his life. Not revived. Sin nature came alive in his life as the divine nature departed. He had spiritual separation from God. Adam had sons. Adam passed his spiritual nature to Seth, the one that he had in him at the point of the union between he and Eve. And the spiritual nature that he passed to Seth was what? The sin nature. Seth had children. His children had children. Along comes Noah. Noah's still passing what? The sin nature. Because the divine nature left with Adam. So Noah passes it to his boys. They pass it on down. Abraham picks it up from his father. Flash forward on down to me. My dad, the paternal side of the union, he passed the sin nature to me. I have three kids. Love them dearly. Beautiful, wonderful kids. Guys, I passed it along to them. Because the sin nature is passed on by the image of the Father. In my image they were born. My image was that of sin. All right? Let me give you some other examples of this. Because I want you to see that it's not just this God to Adam, Adam to us. There's other places where you see the image of the Father principle born out. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Let me read that. Now it came to pass, when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, all whom they chose. And here's what I want you to see. The sons of God, anytime you see that in the Old Testament, it's referring to angels. So this is kind of the story of the Nephilim, where demonic angels interbred with human women. And when they did, this race of half-breeds was born. Why did they do this? I don't have time to get into all the details of this, but they were doing their best. Satan's plan was to infect the human race with altered bloodline. Really was demonic bloodline, because he knew that the Son of God, the deliverer the Redeemer could not come through that bloodline. So he was doing his best to infect the human race with tainted blood so that Jesus could not be born. That was the plan. It was a very good plan. And so that's what happened. The point I want to make is this. The paternal side of the union was the demon, and the maternal being the human woman. The father principle, the image of the father, passes what? This time not even a sin nature, but a demonic nature, because they passed inherent evil into the human race. That's why God had to destroy the earth with a flood. Noah and his family were the last on earth that had not been infected that way. And so that's what that's about. But the image of the father principle bears out here. Let me give you another example out of Luke. And this one's just absolutely exciting. I love this. When God showed me this, I was just joyful. Luke chapter 1, let me read from verse 31. God is speaking, the angel, I'm sorry, is speaking to Mary. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and all of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? She's saying, since I'm not married, since I'm not even sexually active. And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One is born will be called the Son of God. Image of the Father principle. Mary's told you're going to have a son. Mary says, I'm not married. It's not possible. It's physically not possible. I'm not having sex with a man. What did the angel say? No man involved in this one. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, and you are going to become pregnant with the Son of God. So here's the question. With the teaching that you've received today, let me pose a question as we wrap this up. Jesus was born with a human nature. I've already said that. What spiritual nature was he born with? His father, the paternal side of that union, was God Almighty. Just like Adam, he breathed into Mary the breath of life. She was impregnated with the seed of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was the second man to ever walk this earth. That's why he's called the second or the last Adam, with a human nature and a divine nature. Adam had it and lost it in the garden as the sin nature arrived. Jesus had it, and he never lost it. He carried the divine nature, the Holy Spirit within him, all the way to Calvary. That's why he could die for us, the perfect, sinless sacrifice. So now you see where the sin nature came from, and now you see the beginnings of the answer through Jesus, the only begotten. Join me next week as we continue to study the sin nature, and until then, you keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.